Tonight, winter blast. Millions hit by ice, snow, and high winds as a powerful storm moves east. While in the west, an incredible story of survival. One mother's heroic effort to save her stranded family. War of words, President Obama claims he could have beaten Donald Trump if he'd run against him. As the men also battle over that UN resolution condemning Israeli settlement. City under siege, more than 40 shot, 11 killed, as Chicago's gun violence surges this holiday weekend. And inspiring America, how some were able to make it home for the holidays thanks to the spirit and generosity of one man going the extra mile. Nightly News begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. I'm Peter Alexander in tonight for Lester. For millions of Americans at the end of the long holiday weekend, the weather is a top concern tonight. Already, the post-Christmas rush is off to a slow start after whiteout conditions and fierce winds in parts of the plains and upper Midwest and freezing rain that could complicate travel in the Northeast. Tonight, for the first time, we're also hearing one mother's incredible survival story, hiking 26 miles in the snow after her family's car got trapped near the Grand Canyon. Gabe Gutierrez is tracking the worst of the weather tonight.
Tonight, the upper Midwest is digging out after a relentless Christmas blizzard.
How the heck am I getting out of here?
Many roads in the Dakotas impassable. 240 miles of I-94 shut down. Foot of snow blanketed Bismarck, while treacherous wind snarled air traffic.
We pulled up to check our bag at the curbside, and they told us our flight was canceled.
More than 300 U.S. flights canceled, at least 2,800 delayed.
It's a little frustrating, but what are you going to do? They can't control it.
In Arizona, an out-of-control situation near the Grand Canyon is now an incredible survival story.
If I don't find shelter, I'm not going to make it another night.
From her hospital room, Karen Klein is speaking publicly for the first time after being rescued. She hiked for 30 hours over 26 frigid miles to find help when her family's car got stuck in the blinding snow.
I pulled a muscle in my leg and one of my shoes got packed with snow, so I had a sock. And in order to move my leg, I had to physically pick it up to move it forward. So it could only move 10 steps at a time.
Near Detroit, warmer temperatures today, but the town of Fraser, Michigan is under a state of emergency after this huge sinkhole expanded, forcing families to evacuate.
The good news is the bad weather from the northern plain states into the upper Midwest, now moving into Canada. Blizzard conditions end for the Dakotas, and the rain working towards the East Coast is losing its steam. Tomorrow's going to be a much better travel day.
Into unseasonably warm temperatures are forecast over the next few days. Security lines here at the airport are moving smoothly tonight, but they're expecting more than 4 million holiday travelers by next week. Peter?
Gabe Gutierrez in Atlanta tonight. Gabe, thank you. The city of Chicago is finishing another year marked by endless and increasing gun violence. There was no let-up this weekend when dozens of people were shot, 11 of them fatally. The epidemic has only gotten worse this year, as we hear from NBC's Ron Mott.
Christmas night, unseasonably mild.
I'm going to need another ambulance.
With another round of unrelenting gun violence in Chicago.
It sounded like I was in a war zone. It wasn't a normal gun. I mean, 15, 20, 25 shots.
Outside this Southside home, 7 shot, 2 dead, brothers. A holiday weekend with at least 43 people struck by bullets, 12 losing their lives.
This is the sickening reality. It shows yet again that our penalties for carrying and using guns here in Chicago are just not an effective deterrent against repeat gun offenders.
The nation's third largest metropolitan area has been besieged this year by shell casings and death. More than 4,300 shooting victims, at least 763 homicides, both stark increases from a year ago, more murders than New York and Los Angeles combined.
Police officer Kevin McCarthy.
In the next 2 years, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, who has come under fire for the continued violence, has pledged to hire nearly 1,000 new police officers, targeting the 1,400 mostly documented gang members authorities say are responsible for much of the bloodshed.
If you pick up a gun and shoot somebody, you should go to prison, period.
The strategy comes too late to save 11-year-old Tavon Tanner from being caught in the crossfire.
I heard it hitting the porch. I didn't know where it was coming from.
He was shot in August while playing, enduring 8 surgeries since. No arrests have been made, his mother demanding justice.
you shot my baby for no reason and you still living life like it's no big deal.
Ron Mott, NBC News, Chicago.
A war of words is picking up steam among President Obama, Donald Trump, and the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu over that UN resolution condemning Israeli settlements and the U.S.'s willingness to let it pass. And that's not the only clash tonight between the president and president-elect. NBC's Hallie Jackson has the latest.
Tonight, new fallout after a flashpoint in U.S.-Israeli relations. A United Nations Security Council resolution reprimanding Israel for West Bank settlements, seen as a slap to Israel, one the U.S. chose not to block with its veto. Israel, furious, now accusing the U.S. of orchestrating the resolution itself.
We have proof. I don't believe it. We know it. And we'll share it with the incoming administration through the appropriate channels.
The Israeli ambassador echoing the allegations of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
As I told John Kerry on Thursday, friends don't take friends to the Security Council.
But it's Egypt who pushed the resolution. Senior White House aide Ben Rhodes insisting Friday, we did not draft or introduce this resolution.
Do you not believe, do you not trust the U.S. government when they deny having anything to do with this?
Well, Ben Rhodes is an expert in fiction.
Donald Trump, far from staying out of the fight, tweeting this weekend, quote, the big loss for Israel and the United Nations will make it much harder to negotiate peace. And late today, slamming the UN as just a club for people to get together, talk, and have a good time. So sad. The escalating tension underscoring Netanyahu's chilly relationship with President Obama and his warm one with President-elect Trump, previewing potential changes in this diplomatic alliance and a break, in some ways, with decades of U.S. policy.
We will move the American embassy to the eternal capital of the Jewish people, Jerusalem.
Mr. Trump seems to be a different kind of a president.
Will he want to really be play the role of a responsible president once he's in office, or does he want to keep shaking things up?
Here at home, the president-elect's taking exception to new comments from President Obama, who said in a podcast, if he ran again and articulated his vision for a diverse, tolerant nation, he'd win over a majority of Americans. Donald Trump tweeting today, that's not the case, citing ISIS, jobs leaving, and the health care law. Peter?
Hallie Jackson in Palm Beach, Florida tonight. Hallie, thank you. In Hawaii, President Obama carried out a Christmas tradition one last time. The president and Michelle Obama taking time out during their vacation to visit troops at a Marine base on Oahu. Mr. Obama telling them it was the privilege of his life to serve as their commander in chief. One day after the crash of a Russian military plane killing all 92 people on board, the Kremlin said today the investigation will focus on technical problems or pilot error, not terrorism. More debris was recovered today from the site of that crash in the Black Sea. NBC's Tom Costello has the latest on this day of mourning in Russia.
On the Black Sea today, a national priority to recover the plane wreckage and the bodies of the country's beloved Red Army Choir. A symbol of national identity and pride known around the world. Early Sunday, 64 members of the choir, accompanied by TV crews and a Russian doctor known for humanitarian work, were on their way to Syria to perform for Russian troops. Their plane, a Russian Bell Tupolev 154, a workhorse of the Soviet Union, now mostly only flown by the military. The plane involved, built in 1983. The pilot, experienced with 1,900 hours in the Tupolev. The plane took off from a military airfield outside of Moscow in the early morning hours, then stopped for refueling in Sochi before taking off again for Syria. But only a mile off the coast, the plane suddenly went down in the Black Sea. No warnings, no distress calls. Because it was a military plane leaving from a secured base, Moscow is downplaying the possibility of terrorism.
So we think that the reason for the crash could be a technical fault or a pilot error.
Terrorists have hit Russia before, bringing down this passenger plane over Egypt in 2015. The clues to this crash may be in the plane's black boxes, now 200 feet underwater. Did the plane suddenly break apart? Was there bad fuel or a sudden explosion?
One of the early things that they're going to look for is what's the size of the debris field, and that will tell them if the airplane came apart in flight or not.
Tonight, with Russia in mourning, Vladimir Putin is promising to get answers. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
An update now on actress Carrie Fisher, who suffered a heart attack on a flight from London to Los Angeles. Her mother, actress Debbie Reynolds, said in a tweet that Fisher was in stable condition and thanked people for their prayers and good wishes. Fisher, who is 60, remains in intensive care at UCLA Medical Center. Still ahead tonight, the flip side of holiday shopping, the return trip with all those unwanted items, what you need to know before bringing things back. Also, the Queen's health, the latest on that bad cold that kept Queen Elizabeth at home this holiday weekend. On this day after Christmas, the post-game phase of the holiday shopping frenzy began, with many stores offering big sales and millions heading back with their returns. If you're one of them, it's important to understand the fine print. NBC's Morgan Radford has been reading into those details, and she has our report tonight.
A record-breaking holiday season. An estimated $1 trillion spent on gifts selling out in stores. But the reality is, there are some things you just don't like.
We got Finding Nemo instead of Finding Dory, so sometimes Santa makes mistakes.
10% of gifts are returned every year, valued at a whopping $60 billion.
I'm too old to wear this kind of stuff. It's like leggings with all this feature. I didn't like it.
If you are in the return line, beware. Lots of stores have new rules. You have just 2 weeks to return drones to places like Target and Walmart. Kohl's, a January 31st deadline for top shelf electronics. And in some stores, you need to bring your receipt and your ID.
Loose return policies mean that people will do this buy and return, maybe wear something once and then return it. That's actually fraudulent behavior.
While we're talking about returns, why not donate? Places like Give Back Box allow you to take any of your old holiday boxes, print a free shipping label, they'll pick up your gifts and take them to Goodwill.
Today is also a great time to buy.
I've already shopped for some stuff for next Christmas.
Millennials are among the biggest spenders, burning off gift cards they got in their stockings. 8 in 10 say they'll shop after Christmas sales, with some prices cut by more than half.
50 or 60% off, another $10 coupon they gave you as soon as you walk in the door. It's like getting it for free.
Just be sure to pack your patience. Morgan Radford, NBC News, New York.
In Britain, Queen Elizabeth is still under the weather. She had to miss the annual Christmas morning church service with her family for the first time in nearly three decades as she continues to fight a bad cold. And because the Queen is 90 years old, her cold is causing at least some concern. We get more tonight from NBC's Lucy Kafanoff in London.
A Christmas morning tradition for the royal family, church services at their country estate, but this year, Her Majesty the Queen stayed away. She hadn't missed this event, rain or shine, in nearly 30 years. Nothing to worry about, the palace says. She's home fighting a heavy cold. Her husband, Prince Philip, looking sprightly at 95, had also been sick, but seemed to shake off his cold as easily as his coat.
There was a sense that they didn't want the Queen's illness to develop into anything more serious. A chest infection or even pneumonia in somebody in their 90s is obviously very dangerous and to be avoided.
With more than 300 royal events a year, she's not slowing down. Last photographed on December 9th, the picture of health in rose. Her popularity soaring.
The crown must win.
A Netflix series didn't hurt, but the monarch is lightening her load, if only somewhat. And she has good genes. The Queen Mother lived to be 101. It was the first ever Christmas church service for Prince George and little sister Charlotte, clearly fascinated by the bells, joining mom, dad, and a newly engaged Pippa for a Middleton holiday. Their attention held by some sugary treats, the prince knew what to do with his, but this princess had other ideas. But even a heavy cold didn't get in the way of the Queen's annual speech recorded before she got sick.
I often draw strength from meeting ordinary people doing extraordinary things.
Inspiring words from an extraordinary monarch whom the nation and the world is wishing well tonight. Lucy Kafanoff, NBC News, London.
And when we come back, our Inspiring America report on a man who helps others get home mega holidays. Finally tonight, spending precious time with family may be the best part of the holidays, but for some, the cost of simply getting home can be the real obstacle. Fortunately, in this season of giving, there are those willing to help so others can be with their families. Our Kristen Dahlgren has tonight's story that's inspiring America.
For Gracie Raley, family is everything.
Wait, no, this is Bobby at Camo.
But 2016 pushed hers to the edge.
My mom had a heart attack, and now Howard has recently been diagnosed with cancer.
Howard is her mom's partner and the reason Gracie had to get home. But even working two jobs, she couldn't afford the trip from Alabama to Louisiana until
I got my ticket.
A miracle of sorts.
I am on my way.
A business traveler in New York City she had never met, with a big stash of frequent flyer miles and an even bigger heart.
I just feel that it's really important to be able to share that and give that back. And the miles for me is the best way I could possibly do it.
Peter Shankman came up with the idea 4 years ago. Donate those miles he wasn't using to those who needed a little help getting home.
To sort of show the world that maybe there still is a little good.
And a way to teach that his one? Three-year-old about giving.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
This year, people submitted posts via online image sharing community Imgur, and the members voted on the winners. Like a dad flying to see his son with autism, a woman battling cancer, and Gracie. For her mom, Cherie, it is a gift to last a lifetime.
I was thrilled to death. I said, I will come get you. I will carry you piggyback home. Come on.
A family feeling the love this holiday, thanks to a man and his miles that brought them together. Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News, New York.
What a great way to give. That'll do it for us on this Monday night. I'm Peter Alexander in for Lester. For all of us at NBC News, thanks for watching. Have a good night.